you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move.
Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just be. Everything else can wait.
Hey, John, go back a few slides on that song. Nothing Matters More. Bring up those two lines, if you would, please. That right there, thanks. You know, I sang that song. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. I sang that song, and I said to myself, is that true for me? And then I said, all of us that are singing that, is that true? Is that really true? Look at that. There's nothing I want more, because nothing matters more. Just ask yourself that question, is that true today of me? Lord, help that to be true. Sometimes we sit in church, stand in church, and we think about what's going on in the afternoon, or what's happening this week. But Lord, in these moments, help us just to focus on, because nothing matters more than being here with you. All the rest of it's gone in a moment, but this is what matters most right now. Thanks, Lord. Why don't you remain standing with me? I'm going to ask Sherry and Toby, and if Reagan wants to come and Adam wants to come, I'm going to have them stand right here. Tomorrow morning, Toby is scheduled for major surgery with a fused two rods in his back, in an attempt to stop or slow or slightly correct. Just stand facing me, guys. The scoliosis, a severe curvature of the spine that Toby has wrestled with. You've seen him wear a brace. But my prayer has been that before 6:10 tomorrow morning, the Spirit of God comes in. And that's how I'm praying. Do you have faith to pray that way with me? Do you really? If you've got faith to believe like that, then you come and stand around this family right now. Do not delay. Stand around them. Don't put your hands on Toby's. He don't need your hands, weight, all your weight on his shoulders. You don't need that. But just stand around them. Things are possible to those that believe. Those of you online, if you're in your living room or wherever you might be, I'm going to ask you as an act of faith to stand right there with us. Let's pray together. I have no doubt, Lord, you're capable, because I've seen you do this stuff before. And you've made it very clear to me that I am to ask you to do the supernatural. And so I am. And Lord, we just want to be crazy enough to trust you that tomorrow morning he won't need the surgery, for your glory and for your honor. Humbly, Lord, we prayed so passionately and so diligently last night. But again this morning, as a congregation, in person and online, we ask you, in agreement with your word, that tells us that if we ask anything according to the name of Jesus, in his will and for his glory, that you'll hear an answer. And so we do. Send your word. And straighten his spine. Man can't do it, but God can. Thank you, Lord. I know you love the improbable, the impossible, and the ridiculous. You're the creator of all things. And by your power, all things are held together. I've said that, how many times have I said this to you, Lord? If you created the human body, you certainly could fix it. So humbly, and yet with faith, with confidence, we ask you to perform what only you can. Straighten his spine. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. So this is what I'm going to do. So Toby, is there any noticeable difference right now? You would know of anybody. Is there anything? There's yes or no. Not that he knows. What that means is this. Is that you and I are commissioned, well, let's use that word, to pray between now and 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So as often he comes to your mind, you pray for him. We're going to stand in faith together. I've seen God heal people. When the doctors did one last check before they operated, they said, there's no need to operate. We don't know what happened. I've seen that happen. Doctors have said, there's no explanation, but there's no need for the surgery. Go home. I've seen that happen. I'm believing it's going to happen tomorrow. You pray with me. Every time you think of Toby. Can you do that? Can you make a point to pray for him today and tomorrow morning? Can you do that? You said that not to me, but to the Lord. So make good on it, please. We trust you, Lord. We've prayed many times as a church for Toby and for other situations. And one thing you can be sure of, Lord, we are not going to let you go until you bless us. Refuse to quit. Until you say so or you bring healing, either way. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I trust you. We trust you. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen. We're not done praying, but you can go back to your seats. We're going to do one other thing. So get ready to do that with me. I want the band just to continue to play softly. Faith means that you trust God, you believe God, even when your ears and your eyes don't give you evidence. That's what faith is. And we're going to trust. Amen? We're going to trust. I want all of you to remain standing. The rest of you can be seated if you want to be seated. But all of you, I want all of you to remain standing. You know, one of you came and talked to me just before the service, and I don't normally have appointments before the service. I don't normally do that, but this time I felt like I should. And what you told me was pretty intense and pretty difficult. But what God used you to do was to prompt me to do what I'm going to do right now. And that is, I want every person here that's facing an extremely difficult situation, I don't care what it is. It's extremely difficult. I want you to remain standing. If you're not, you can be seated. But those of you that are facing a really tough situation, I don't care. Again, I don't care what it is. Whatever it is. We're going to pray that God moves in your behalf. I hope most of you saw Michelle Lawrence's testimony. Struggle, struggle, struggle to try to get a job as a teacher, couldn't get one, and suddenly she receives a phone call from a principal in Colchester that had already talked to her and turned it down, and suddenly the principal said, do you want the job? And and asked her to come in for an interview, then called back and moved the interview up. She went to the interview. Not only was she hired, but she was given a 5-year contract. And so that's, it's an amazing story. I've walked with Michelle and Steve through some just been so difficult for them lately. God stepped in. And she said this in one of her posts. She said, "I didn't expect to be hired today." And I said, "Yeah, it often works like that. Just suddenly out of nowhere, boom." So Lord, for all of us that are standing, that are facing impossible, difficult, confusing, depressing, disappointing situations, every single one of us that are standing today, I'm asking you, you told me to do this and I'm doing it, to step in right now. These people I love so much. Step in on their behalf and do what only you can do. Suddenly, in a moment. And God, I know for some, God, that you'll suddenly begin to release an idea or a thought that they'd never had before. And with other people, God, doors will suddenly open. I know that. Provision will come from unexpected places. Things will radically change. And they'll have to stand back and they'll have to say, "I didn't do that. That was God." And you'll get the credit and you'll get the glory and you'll get the honor. And all of you that are standing, I just want you to simply say what I often encourage you to say. Just simply say, "Lord, I trust you." Now say it like you mean it. "Lord, I trust you. Spirit of the living God. Be prepared. Watch what he does. We just glorify you. Come on, lift your hands up. We don't need a song right at this particular moment. Maybe we'll come back and sing a song. I don't know. You already told me in the one of the songs you sang that you're not in a hurry. I got no place I'd rather be than right here with you. But can we just lift our hands and just simply say, "Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Lord, for your provision." Come on, do this with me. Thanks, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for your abundant provision. Thank you for the blessing that rests upon my life. Thank you for the difficulties whereby I come to know you in greater fashion and you form me after your image and I learn more of you and I become stronger. Thank you even for the difficulties. Thank you for the hard places that help me to stand. Thank you, oh God, for how you come to my rescue time and time again. You prove yourself faithful one more time. Thank you for that. Thank you that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you. There's nothing impossible for you. Thank you, God, that we don't have to merit this. We don't have to be good enough. It is by your grace. God, and even our weaknesses, you passionately love us and care for us. Thank you, Father. Let's just sing something. I don't know what. Let's sing something. And you can stand or you can sit. I don't care. Let's just worship. I'm not going to drag this out, but I don't want to miss a holy moment either. Come on.
Just be here at your feet. Just be.
Amen. Amen. You've been standing a long time. Go ahead and be seated, please. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be back with you. Amen. Back. And it's great to just to be back with you. And I mean, more about that in a moment. But yesterday, a young pastor asked me, he said, I used to be the young pastor, now I'm the old guy. But he said, how is it that you've stayed there for 35 years? I said, well, all the ups and downs and the rigors. And I said, well, I have one plan. And that plan is to stay close to Jesus. That's my plan. Make that your plan. Amen? Make that your plan. Chris.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to church this morning. If this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you. And we do that around here by just honoring you, by clapping for you. So welcome. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you. As you see, we're a connected church. We want to be connected to everybody. And the easiest way for you to get connected with us is for you to text the word welcome that comes up on the screen, and a little link will come back to you. All you have to do is just take a few moments and fill it out. And then just like that, shabam, we're connected. And of course, there's lots of other ways to be connected. We can be connected through the Church Center app, because there's lots of opportunities that are coming up. If you haven't met with Pastor Brad ever yet, he will be outside after service at the Narthex, and we're also available on Facebook, Instagram. We even have a TikTok page, so make sure you guys are getting connected. And then we have lots of opportunities. So like I was saying, we have this awesome Church Center app, and if you don't have the Church Center app, make sure you pull out your phone and look at that seat back in front of you and get the Church Center app, because there's awesome opportunities. This Wednesday, we're going to be bringing it back to Who Can You Trust? If you remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Brad went over Who Can You Trust? And we're taking it to part two. And so Pastor Brad's going to be bringing us through that message. And also Hebrews will be happening with now Hebrews this week. Sorry. And then there's a weekly prayer schedule. So if you haven't noticed, we are a praying church, and there are lots of opportunities to pray almost every day. So make sure you guys are joining us on one of these awesome prayer rows. And if you're not exactly sure how to pray, you don't know how to pray, you're not really sure what to do, we even have some guided prayer meetings on Tuesdays where we talk about even, hey, how to pray and what that looks like. So make sure you guys are joining us for something. If you're not really sure what your spiritual gifts are, or where God is leading you, or how you should be doing things, make sure you guys are getting engaged. And we are having engaged tonight, and the registration closes for that at 2 o'clock. So make sure, if you haven't figured out what your spiritual gifts are, you're not really sure where to serve, where you're supposed to be serving at, make sure you join us for Engage. And then there's a lot of things happening this week. On Tuesday, there's a mom's gathering at the playground. And then that evening, there is men's ministry. We're having a men's gathering here at the church. And then the ladies' Bible study is going to be happening. And if you, you know, last week we had that awesome video that talked about what that Bible study is going to be about. And if you need the materials for that, they're available out at the Welcome Center. And then this Friday, there's going to be awesome weather. Everybody say it with me. There's going to be awesome weather this Friday, and we are going to have an outdoor movie night to bless our military families. And I also need some people to help volunteer for that, so make sure you guys are signing up for that in the app. And then if you haven't yet come public with your faith, if you've made that decision inside your heart, you've already accepted Jesus in your heart, and you haven't come forward and had a public baptism, we're doing one at Bluff Point on September 10th. So make sure you guys register for that in the app. All right? Next up, Pastor Brad. Coming back.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Special thanks to Chris. I heard he did a great job while we were gone in Wisconsin. Thank you for Chris. Appreciate that. I heard my friend Maxwell did a good job, and then Andy did a good job teaching. Thank you for that. And Brian, thank you for leading three services. That's great. That's great. I'm grateful I have a deep bench, as they say here. And so I didn't worry about a thing. I knew it was going to be fine. So hallelujah. Just, this church is in better hands than Allstate, so it's, you know, so we thank God for that. Also, do me a favor, when you see Melissa Jones, say happy birthday to her, okay? Yeah, do that when you see her, all right? She's usually running around doing something around here, so wish her a happy birthday, okay? I won't tell you which number it is, she can tell you, okay. Let's go on here just real quick. Like, we want to honor the Lord with our giving. And I saw this verse of scripture, and I know it well, and I really thought of so many of you. Look at what it says here. Since Paul's saying to the church in Corinth, since you excel in many ways in your faith and gift as speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in the precious act of giving. Many of us do really, really well in so many areas, and yet we find ourselves struggling when it comes to tithing and giving offerings. We struggle with that, and I get it. I get it. Sometimes it's really hard. Life is expensive, and I understand that. But one of the ways to conquer all that stuff is through generosity. And I know sometimes the idea of tithing 10% just seems outlandish. I challenge you. Start with 1%. Go to 2. Go to 5. You know? I mean, some of us are like me, jump in the deep end of the pool. Others like want to walk down the steps. Either way, grow in the grace of giving. Amen? Amen? And you will find God blessing your life. I guarantee it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for being faithful. And again, if you're visiting here today, this service is our gift to you. There's no expectation for you to participate in the offering unless you want to. And there's not a basket that's being passed. The way we give is all online here or in the kiosks that are out there, little giving boxes out there. So you can do that. Okay, Lord, the funds that we receive, tithes and offerings, help us to use those as wisely and as appropriately as we can to advance your kingdom. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends?
Amen.
Amen. Please understand, one of the things, people often ask me this, please understand, every single month, our deacons get anywhere from about 8, 9, 10, 12 page financial report that gives them a full understanding of how all the money is spent around here. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing secret. Everything is wide open. It's carefully managed by our board. And you can always be confident that we are watching this because it's not my money. It's not Seaport's money. It's God's money. Amen? So I thought I would just say that because people often ask about that. So we're going to let the youth, they're going to take off right now to the fellowship hall. And we're going to send them out of here. Okay? And they went to Lake Compounds. I guess they had a good time. I didn't hear it. You know, anything else, I assume, right? You guys had a good time?
That was great.
Yeah. All right. Great. Amen. Thanks, Rolando and Bree. Appreciate that so very, very much. Let's jump in this morning. And just before we do, Debbie and I took 8 days, and we went to Wisconsin. Debbie is from upper Wisconsin, way up north, where my standard joke is, summer in Marinette, Wisconsin is August 1st. That's not quite true, but we went up there. Debbie's family has an annual kind of picnic reunion. We attended that, but we were there primarily to spend time. We couldn't go in December for varieties of reasons to celebrate her mom's 100th birthday, so we went in the summertime and spent the majority of our time just being with her mom. And she's 100 years of age. I dare say she could probably outwalk most of you. Wow. And don't play skip-ball with her. She'll kill you. She'll crush you. Wow. It's amazing. I'm sitting at the table going, I'm being beat by a 100-year-old woman. It was great. I loved it. Sharp right there. Thank God. So we spent a lot of time just making sure that mom had what she needed. So thanks for that. Anyway, I want to jump into this. I feel like a very important message. I want to jump in. What would you say? What would be the thoughts that would come to your mind that you would want to express to a loved one, to maybe the people that you'd worked with, that or family, or somebody that you knew you would not see again for a long time, or maybe never? What would you say to them? What words would you want to impress upon them? What things do you think in that those very memorable moments you would like to leave them with? Because we all know how impactful those are. What would be some of those words? What would you say? Jesus had that opportunity. He gathered his 11 men around him at a prearranged place on a the Bible calls a mount, but it was really a glorified hill. And what was somewhat of a farewell address to these guys. He'd been crucified, resurrected, but now he was preparing to leave, and he wanted to make sure that they were ready. He had poured into those guys for 3 years. And now they were not going to go back to their old ways of tax collecting and fishing and all the rest. No, they were going to be his literal hands and feet and carry out his message and his mission. And Jesus wanted to make sure that he impressed upon those guys in those moments something that was critically important. And what he said to them, they had never heard before, or like that at least. Jesus said in the past, it indicated he had limited authority, but now he says, I have all authority. It's all been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. I'm commissioning you to carry out my work I prepared you for. Now, I don't know if you've had this opportunity, maybe many of us have, where we've tried to impress upon a child or a family member or those that we work with the importance of carrying out our wishes. Maybe some of you, I hope all of you, that at least in my age group have a written will. I do. I hope you do. Debbie and I have one. That expresses your wishes. But you know what? Many of us had the experience, and maybe even simple things like going on vacation, you kind of wonder, okay, how are things going to go back home? I had no doubts my pool would be in good hands because Gary took good care of my pool. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. But you always wonder, don't you? Are they going to do it? You always wonder, are they going to do it the way it should be done? Are they going to just maybe take a shortcut? Are they not going to follow through? Are they going to do it their own way? Or are they just going to become lazy and apathetic and complacent? Are they going to be meticulous? What are they going to do in carrying out your wishes? Are they going to do it? I think all of us have had that experience. And maybe some of us have come home and been just thrilled. And others of us have come back and gone, oh my word. We've all had that experience, probably. You know? Jesus is preparing these guys for his departure. And he wants to impress upon them. And he launches into something that we call the Great Commission. And I want to read the commission for you. I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of some nations. Oh, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you see that? Jesus has been given all authority. His vision is all nations. His mission is to obey all his commands. His promise is that he will always be with us. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful? So let me ask you a question. This is a commission that he gave those 11 men, and in essence gave to us, his church, his body. He gave it to us 2,000 years ago. How are we doing? Carrying out. 2,000 years should be enough time to get the mission done, don't you think? I want you to watch this little 4-minute video. This will tell us how well we're doing. Let's watch. Guys.
After we accomplish that task, will we receive the blessing of Jesus told us 2,000 years ago that our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. He also promised us that only after we accomplish that task will we receive the blessing of His return. So, how are we doing accomplishing our mission? To answer that, let's classify the 7 billion people on the earth today into three groups. Let's start with the Christians. About 33% of the world's population would identify itself as Christian. We call this segment of the population World C, C for Christian. It's important to remember that not all of the people that fall into World C are true believers in Christ. They merely identify themselves as Christian because of nominal belief in Jesus, or because they live in a country where everyone is considered Christian, so they would do the same. Next, there's the 38% of the world that has access to the gospel but has chosen not to follow Jesus. They have Bibles in their language, churches nearby, friends or coworkers who are potentially Christians, or access to other Christian resources in their language. These people have access to the good news, but just haven't acted on it yet. This segment of the population is called World B. That leaves us with 29% of the world, just over 1 out of every 4 people on this planet who not only have never heard of Jesus, they have no chance of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. They have no access to the gospel, no Bibles, no churches, no believers nearby, no chance to learn about Jesus. We call that 29% World A. Now, on to missionaries. Only 1 out of every 1,800 Christians in World C decides to serve as a cross-cultural missionary. So, we can pull 400,000 missionaries out of that World C population. That's our total cross-cultural missionary force worldwide. Did you know that 72% of all our missionaries are going to World C? That's right. The vast majority of the missionaries being sent out are going to the people of the world that have Bibles and established churches. 25% of the missionaries are sent to World B, where there is already some access to the church and to the Bible. That leaves only 3% of the total missionary force to handle all of World A, the section of the population without any chance of hearing about Jesus. 29% of the world has no way to hear the gospel, but we're sending only a tiny portion of our Christian workers to them. What about finances? Annually, all those Christians in World C earn a total of $42 trillion, and together they give about $700 billion to Christian causes each year. That includes everything: Christian nonprofits, churches, youth programs, missions, etc. Can you do the math? Less than 2% of Christian income is being given to Christ's causes. Out of that $700 billion given to all Christian causes, only $45 billion is given to missions specifically. That's a little over 6%. In fact, there is more money reported embezzled from the church each year than is given to missions. Remember those 400,000 missionaries? We have $45 billion to support them and their cross-cultural work. But how exactly is it allocated? Well, $39 billion goes to World C every year. Yep, 87% of that missions money is being spent in areas of the world that have Bibles and churches available. $5.4 billion, or 12%, goes to World B each year, those that have access to the gospel message but have rejected it. That leaves only $450 million, or 1% of all missions money, going to World A, the least reached people of the world. To put that into perspective, annually, Americans spend more money on Halloween costumes for their pets than get sent to World A. To summarize, only 3% of our missionary force, armed with only 1% of missions giving, is going out to reach the 2 billion people who don't have access to the gospel. 2 billion people are still waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. What are you going to do to change that?
What are we going to do? That's a big question. It's a big question. I know that maybe you're sitting here and you're going, well, you know, I pray for missionaries. Thank you for doing that. Well, every week I give 1% to missions and this church, because you have done that. We, for 25 or so years or 30 years, this church supported 22 missionaries. Because many of you have stepped up, not only do you tithe, but you've given 1% or more to missions, we've gone from 22 to 42 just by a bunch of us giving 1% or more. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we've got more to give. And God has used this church in some amazing ways, and more to come on that. Maybe you say, well, you know, I'd love to go on a missions trip. I would love for you to go on one. We'd love to do those as well. And hopefully in the future we can do that. I'm grateful. All those responses are good responses. I'm thankful for the 42 missionaries that we support and we pray for every single Wednesday night and have since the church started. You know, I'm grateful for all of that. You know, I'm grateful for those of you that are involved in this craft fair this coming this fall, where we're going to raise money for the outreach that we're doing. And, you know, this is kind of phase two in Ghana, West Africa. This past February, the goal was to provide health care insurance for 1,000 children. We provided it for 2,800. I'm just going to tell you this. God's not satisfied with 2,800. I'll tell you more about that. He's already spoken to me about that. What we're going to do as a church for the children of Ghana who have almost no access to any kind of health care, we're going to help them. Aren't you grateful for that? But you have to understand something. Those are big numbers. Ghana's a faraway country, and there's only a few of us in the room that have ever been there and maybe ever go there. But maybe you don't know this. Or maybe you figured it out from the aftershock testimonies that we've had every week, that there are lots of people in this community that do not know who Jesus is. They do not know why he came. They do not know his gospel. They do not know his promise. And they have no idea how to receive eternal life. You say, how is that even possible? It used to be, when Seaport started 5 years ago, it used to be that if somebody came in and they said, well, you know, I've never been, this is my first time I've ever been to a church service. I cannot tell you, 35 years later, that's become common to me. People come into Seaport now and they say, this is the first time I've ever attended a church service. They're not kids. They're not teenagers. They're adults. That's America. That's not some faraway country. That's our backyard. No understanding. And this is happening at the very same time that many of us have gone AWOL from sharing our faith. We've stopped sharing our faith as a church. Maybe there's a lot of reasons for that. Let's take a look. You know, why is it that we don't share our faith more frequently and more often as we would want to or know that we could and maybe even should? I want you right now in the quietness of your heart to ask this question. Why don't I, not the neighbor, not somebody else, why don't I personally share the gospel more like I want to, like I know I could, maybe even should? Ask yourself, where's the answer to that? I'm not going to ask you to respond to that, but get the answer firmly in your heart. Be honest with yourself. Be really honest with the answer to that question. What is it? And then ask yourself this question. Does that answer, does it really stand up to the command of Jesus? I mean, does it really? I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons why we don't share the gospel more frequently. Maybe we feel like, well, it's really somebody else's job to do that. And lots of Christians feel like, well, it's the pastor's job, or it's that aftershock group, they do that. Or missionaries, we pay missionaries to do that. I don't really need to. Really? I think Jesus said that to all of us, didn't he? Amen. That's all of us. Not a special group. That's all of us, you know. It's a personal responsibility for all of us. Maybe in the honesty of our heart, maybe we say, well, you know, I'm afraid that I'll be rejected, ridiculed, denied opportunities, afraid. Or maybe I can't answer their questions. I understand all that. And those are possibilities. They are. I'm not going to kid you. But when fear and insecurity become the decision maker, who's Lord? Who's Lord? Here's a key reason why every single one of us needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us with power to be bold and to share the gospel clearly. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be. Pursue that. It's a gift that God wants you to have. The power that will come upon your life will amaze you. Amen, friends?
Yes.
But wait. Did you remember the last phrase that Jesus said? And I will be with you always. Even if these things happen, he's still with you. Amen? He's still with you. And we'll use it in an amazing way. Maybe, I don't know, let's continue. I mean, maybe you say, well, you know what, Pastor Brad, that's really good, but you don't understand. I'm really busy with my life and my family. And man, I do all kinds of stuff at Seaport. You know, I don't have time to share the gospel with anybody. Did you just hear that? Just hear that? Hear that? Oh, I get it. I understand about being busy. Believe me. I hit the ground running. We got back here Wednesday night, and I just felt like, man, I was off to the races again. I get it. I understand it. But I wonder, is anything really all that important that you can't take a couple of minutes and share the gospel with somebody who the Lord leads you to? It could be life and eternity changing for them. And that thing that you're about to do may have no meaning in eternity. I know sometimes it's not an easy decision, and I get that. But please understand something too, friends. Don't get me wrong here. Maybe you're involved in children and youth ministries, and thank you for doing that, because you're fulfilling the Great Commission. You're teaching kids, you're teaching youth all the commands of Jesus. Thank you for doing that. Those of you leading connect groups, thank you for doing that, because as you're teaching those commands, you're advancing the Great Commission. That doesn't say to us, I'm not excused from sharing the gospel with somebody. I look for opportunities every day, and I pray, God, help me to be alert and not miss an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Could I challenge every one of you that lead a connect group? Could I challenge every one of you in children's ministries? Could I challenge every one of you in youth ministries? Could I challenge you not only to continue to do all the great things that you're doing, and thank you for that. Seaport has a reputation in this area as having some of the best children's ministries that you'll find in any church in this area. Thank you for that. But can I challenge you to share stories with your kids and with the youth and young adults and the groups and the adults that you lead of how you personally are sharing the gospel with people? Can you share those stories with them? Not 100 years ago stories, but stories of recent experiences. Can you do that, please?
Yes.
Say yes. Can you do that, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. One of you sent me a message yesterday. You're on vacation. And while you're on vacation, you were talking to, you know, an electrician that you're having, that's doing some work for you somehow or another. And the message said, over the phone, while on vacation, I led my electrician to Jesus.
Praise God.
And then he went on and he said, that's number 237. Not a pastor, not a preacher. But since he's been saved, he's won 237 people to Jesus. Maybe we say, well, you know, my life is really good right now, and I don't want to jeopardize that. I would say, wow. I don't think you want the Lord to make your life ungood right now. I mean, the pursuit of, and I get it, I want you to prosper. I want you to be blessed, I do, but not at the expense of spiritual priorities. Amen? You get those flip-flopped, you're not going to prosper. You start putting money and possessions ahead of God, guess what? You can lose it all in a nanosecond. Cast but a glance at riches and it sprouts wings and flies away. Said the richest man who's ever lived would make Elon Musk look like a poor man. Solomon, when he wrote that, was worth $2 trillion. That's with a T. When he wrote that, I think I'd go with him over Elon Musk. Be careful. Don't sell out spiritual matters. Convince yourself it's okay. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It does not work in reverse. I just don't know enough yet. And I understand that. When I was a brand new Christian, I would go down to the Christian bookstore. That's when we had one here in Groton on Bridge Street. I spent hours down there looking at books, reading books, doing all kinds of things because I knew I was in high school and I knew that people were asking me questions. I didn't have any answers for them. And so I'd go down there, I'd read all kinds of books, trying to figure this out, trying to figure out the answers to their questions. And I was so grateful. I was so grateful because it pushed me and prompted me to pray and to think and to read and to study. Maybe you say, I don't think I know enough. I don't know if I can share my faith. Then come next Saturday to Aftershock. And just go out. And it's not a big deal. You're not out there pounding people with Bibles and Bible verses. Do it simple. Simple. I don't think the world wants to hear this message. In some contexts, you're exactly right. They don't want to hear it. But there's an awful lot of people who do. And sometimes it's surprising. Sometimes it's surprising who wants to hear it. And sometimes they are hearing it for the first time. Yes, you've heard those aftershock testimonies, right? Of teenagers going, we've never heard this before. That's not in some foreign country. That's down the street. Let me share this story with you. I've told it many times, but let me share it again for those of you who have not heard it because it's impacted me so dramatically. I became a Christian in my junior year of Ledger High School. I was 16, and I decided just to go radical for Jesus, man. And so one day I sat across the table from my good friend Russ, and I preached the gospel to Russ. Man, just right at him. And Russ sat there like he wasn't interested, didn't care. And I thought, well, this guy, he don't care. He ain't listening. I never said anything to him. We graduated from high school, and I would bump into Russ at a mutual friend's wedding and reception. I sat right across the table from him at the reception. And I said to Russ, I said, hey, Russ. I was in Bible college at this time. And I said, hey, Russ, and I began to talk to him a little bit about Jesus. And he stopped me. He said, Whipple. He said, that day you talked to me about what happened to you. I listened. And I thought to myself, this is my best friend. If it was good for him, it was good for me. And I'm sitting there going, what? And he said, after we talked, I began to, he engaged in a particular activity and bottom line was he became very involved in some Eastern mysticism and Eastern practices, Eastern religions. And then he looked at me and he said, Whipple, now you've got yours and I've got mine and I don't want to hear anything more about it. I don't have a clue what happened the rest of that reception. And for 40 plus years, 50 years now, it's been 50 years, that has just haunted me. And I wonder how many times we think they don't care when they are interested in hearing it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Maybe we say, you know what, I don't share the gospel because, you know, then people will, once they know I'm a Christian, they'll expect more out of me. Shouldn't they? Don't they have that right to? Don't they have the right to realize that you're going to talk different? You're not going to laugh at the same things. You're not going to tell the same kind of stories as them. You're not going to spend your extra time doing the things that maybe they do. The worst possible thing that can happen is that you, when your friends find out that you're a Christian, that they're shocked. Something's definitely wrong there. And sometimes I think, you know what, we don't want to let people on because then it could be awkward, it could be difficult. And maybe you won't earn their pleasure, but you certainly will earn the Lord's pleasure. And who are you serving anyway? I suppose there are a lot of reasons, and I'm certainly not asking you to raise your hand. But Jesus said, I have all authority. I'm commissioning you to go. Us, me, all of us. Are any of the things that we said really worthy of him? I mean, he promised to empower us by his Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying to your boss, your supervisor, your commanding officer, or whomever it is, and they give you a directive or an order that's reasonable, right, and appropriate? And you go, you know, I'm just not feeling it. You get somebody else. Get somebody else take care of it, because I'm just not feeling it. Tell me about your career path. We say that to the Lord all the time, don't we? I don't feel it. It's a command. It's not a feeling. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed, said the great missionary to inland China, Hudson Taylor, 100 plus years ago. And maybe like me, sometimes you think our efforts don't matter, when it's amazing what God does when that's just that little effort. It's amazing. I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the government official in Acts chapter 8. It's one of my favorite stories in all of the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts. You have to understand that Philip is leading a revival. Wild, crazy things are happening. People are getting saved and delivered, and people are getting healed, and it's wild, crazy stuff. Amazing stuff. In the middle of it, God says, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go down to the desert, and down to the road in the desert, and I want you to hang out. Now, if that was you, what would you have thought? Man, I lost my mind somewhere. But Philip, without delay, goes down there. And as he's down there, if you know the story, the Ethiopian eunuch, the government official, comes by. He leads him to the Lord, baptizes him in water. If you're not familiar with the story, you ought to read it because it's crazy. But church historians believe that that Ethiopian eunuch would go back to Ethiopia using his influence and his experience with Jesus, would found what we today call the Ethiopian Coptic Church, which is the oldest expression of Christianity outside the Holy Land in the entire world. Because one guy went out of his way to reach one guy. But you know, I understand that. We in America think big, 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 big. We got to have crusades. We got to have stadiums. We got to have huge events. And I like all that stuff. And I've been part of all of it. But watch this video. Is that really the way it should be? Is that the best way? Let's watch.
Would you rather be given $1 million or one penny doubled every day for 30 days? You remember this question from math class, right? This is when we all learned the power of compound interest and exponential growth. At the end of 30 days, that doubled penny becomes just over $5 million. Turns out, the same concept applies to missions. Imagine you filled a football stadium with 100,000 people for a gospel outreach event, and 20% of them came to know Christ. That day, 20,000 people would come into the kingdom. If you did that every day for a year, over 7 million people would come to faith. That sounds pretty great, right? Here's the question, though. If you kept that pace of 7 million people each year, how long would it take to reach the world's population of 8 billion people? Over 1,000 years. 1,095, to be exact. A 100,000-person outreach event every day for 1,000 years? From a pure number standpoint, mass evangelism will not reach the world for Christ in our lifetime. What about a different strategy inspired by that original math problem? Instead of preaching to 100,000 people every day, suppose you made one disciple each year, focused on their development, and equipped them to make their own new disciple every year. At the end of the first year, you would have two followers of Jesus, you and your disciple. At the end of the second year, you would have four, 8 the third year, 16 the fourth, and so on, 32, 64, 128. How many years would it take to disciple the world using this strategy? 34 years. Do the math. Something profound happens when we take a multiplication mindset. In the Great Commission, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He continues by instructing us to teach those disciples to obey everything he commanded us. What was his final command? Go and make disciples. So our role is to make disciples that obey the command to make disciples that obey the command to make disciples. We're to go to all nations and make disciple-making disciples. That's multiplication. Reach the few in order to reach the many. What if you didn't feel the burden to preach to an entire village or city or country, but instead were faithful to the simple multiplication principles of the Great Commission? The entire world could be discipled in our generation if we started with just one. What about you? How might God want you to be involved in making disciples that make disciples, in seeing movements of Jesus among every tribe, tongue, people, and nation? Would you rather fill a stadium every day for the next 1,000 years, or commit to making one disciple this year? Let's do this together, until all have heard, starting with discipling one. So, who's your one?
Hang on a minute. Yeah, it's worthy of clapping, but hang on a minute. Ever since I saw that, it's kind of tormented me. In a good way. I'll tell you why in just a moment. What's a disciple? A disciple just means learner. It means follower. Okay? It means to follow closely. It doesn't mean Instagram follower. You know, it doesn't mean that. What is a disciple? Is one who simply and fully surrendered to Jesus, who seeks to obey, know and obey his commands. Hence the 40 commands of Jesus called commission that we've been walking through this year, and desires to speak, act, and think like him. So what are you? Are you a disciple or more of an Instagram follower? What are you? Only you can answer that question. See, here's what bothered me about that video. I've seen this before. I've understood the principle before. But what blows my mind and bothers me just a little bit, not with any kind of condemnation or anything of the sort, but with a question that makes me wonder. You see, it was 34 years ago that Debbie and I started Seaport Community Church. Today, there's less than 200 people in this building. And thank God, there are people that have been part of Seaport that are literally coast to coast, border to border in America and beyond. Thank God for that. Thank God. The impact of the church has been significant. And through world missions, it's been around the world. I'm grateful for all of that. But then I look at that and I go, huh. Many years ago, some pastors in the area got together and they said it would be great to have a large crusade at Dodd Stadium in Norwich. I think it's still called that. I was not in favor of it, but I said, I need to support this because the other churches are doing it. I need to support it. It's a good cause. And I'll never forget, and this is going to sound a little crass, but go with me on it. I'll never forget going to one of those meetings at one of the local churches, and one of the crusade coordinators from out of town was coming in and to meet with all of us and all. And I got this guy, and I said, you know, this isn't going to produce anything. You know that, right? And he's like, what? I said, it will not produce anything. He just looked at me like I was a nutcase or something. I'd based that upon research that I had done. The crusade came. Seaport supported it fully. We were the largest financial contributor to the budget of $110,000. We were the largest contributor to it. We were behind it. We were there both nights of this crusade out there at Dodd Stadium. We were involved in every way. 1 year after the crusade, I said to the pastor in the area that was leading it, I said, how many people are in our churches today as a result of that crusade? His answer was this: none that I know of. If you think that we need to have large crusades, I like them. Believe me, there's a place for them. I get it. I've done them. But it's not the best way. So what do we do now? Just what do we do now? I'm still trying to answer that question fully in my own heart. I don't have a complete answer, but I do have this answer for all of you. Let's go back to the Great Commission. Can we allow the command of Jesus to push away our excuses and our reasons? Can we? Can we trust him and his promise that he'll give us confidence and he'll always be with us to help us? Can we do that?
Yes.
And can we simply go? And as we go, can we pray for opportunities? Or pray not to miss opportunities? Can we pray that God gives us a love for people that drives out all fear? Can we?
Yes.
And can we pray like Paul said to the church in Ephesus? Can we pray that we have boldness to share the gospel clearly as we ought to? Can we do that?
Yes.
We can do all these things. The question is, will we? That's the question. And why don't you stand with me? Stand with me, please. I just want you to be aware of something from my own heart. My prayer every time before I preach and teach is, God, this better flow out of my own heart and life and experience. And I'm asking myself a lot of hard questions too. And I'm not necessarily liking some of the answers I'm hearing from myself. But can we as a church, maybe we got to rethink some things. And that's okay. It's okay. I want the band to come back. If I came across in any way that made you feel guilty or condemned, forgive me, because that was not my heart. I didn't do that intentionally. Do you know why I know I'm still supposed to be here after almost 35 years? Do you know how one of the reasons I know? Somebody asked me about that. I said, this is one of the reasons. This is how I know I'm supposed to be here. Because I drive around Groton and I weep over it. I stood outside a restaurant yesterday morning and I looked at a group of people that were sitting on the patio eating breakfast and I thought, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they're going to heaven. Can God break our hearts? Let's pray. Blow away the excuses, Lord. Start with me. Blow away the nice sounding reasons. Help us to realize it's a command from you. It's not a suggestion. Help us to realize, Lord, you're going to empower. You're going to enable. You're always going to be with us. You're going to help us. You didn't call us to do this on our own. You said, I will be with you always. Help us to move and do what you want. Help us to go, not to sit, not to wait, not to miss, but to go. Every day, everywhere, may we see that we are truly a missionary to a culture that's slipping away. And let me just interrupt that by simply saying, you know what one of the fastest growing religious groups are on American high school campuses? Satanist clubs. It's true. Lord, help us not to hear stuff and then just turn away from it, but help us to hear it and say, here I am, Lord. I want us to sing this song, I'm Available. You can come if you want to come. You can stand if you want to stand. I don't really care. It's got to happen in your heart. Let the Lord speak to you. But as we sing this song, and I'm going to close in just a moment after we sing this song. You know, in the old building, we call it the old building, and do you realize, thank God for this, it just occurred to me, that on this Sunday, 20 years ago, this Sunday, St. Paul Community Church left the old building and came to this one. That was 20 years ago today. In the old building, if you were there, there was, as you walked into the sanctuary, it said, expect great things on one side of the door. On the opposite side, it said, attempt great things. Some people have asked me to bring that back. I just might. I've been to other churches where I said, over the door on the way out, it said, now entering the mission field. We're not called to be a group of people hanging out in the building. This is headquarters for world evangelism. And if you can't think that big, this is headquarters for evangelism in Groton in southeastern Connecticut. Let's sing this song, I'm Available.
Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece.
I don't know about you, but as I'm standing up here, the Lord's asking me some hard questions, uncomfortable kinds of things. So don't think I get off the hook, because actually, probably the stuff he's asking me is probably tougher than what he's asking of you, but just open your heart. This morning, Lord, as we get ready to depart from here, we don't need more information. We've gotten enough information. But I pray, God, that your command would blow away our excuses and our reasons. You're challenging me on that, and thank you for that. And God, I pray that you'd help us to conquer our fears and our apprehensions and all the rest, knowing that you're with us. And you'll help us. You'll give us boldness and you'll give us wisdom. But Lord, help us to go. Help us to go. And God, help us to seize opportunities and help us not to miss opportunities. We seem to be good at that sometimes. And God, help us to love people like you love them. A love that casts away and pushes away all fear. And God, help us to boldly share the gospel, not in an offensive way, but God, boldly and clearly, as we ought to. If that's your heart, how I just pray, just say amen with me. Amen. Amen means I agree, remember. Thank you, Lord. Dismiss us now, I pray, in your great grace, but help us to go walk this thing out as we enter the mission field. Help us to go and attempt something great for you. And God, not just get into the routine of Sunday, Wednesday, life, but to impact those around us, we pray. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. You know what? You've heard enough. You've been prayed for. Now go. Don't forget your kids, but go. Do me one last favor. If you're going to come to Engage, please, I said it's 2 o'clock. Sign up by noon. That would really help me. Sign up by noon, please. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Hallelujah. I'll try to get out there by the cafe. If I don't, I'll be over here. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. Hope to see you Wednesday. It's going to be good.